I never fucked the Mind Flayer.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have an amazing guest, Sin Verbrugge, who is an expert on electric cars and electric car batteries, going to talk to us all about electric cars, everything but Tesla. Okay, a little
geeks,
Tesla.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
I was going to say vroom, but then I panicked.
And Tim Wick.
That silence you hear is the sound of my car starting.
And we have an amazing guest on today, longtime friend of ours, Sin Verbrugge. Hello, Sin.
Hello. Yay. Thanks for having me.
And she is here as our the only e-vehicle expert that I know personally. She has been working for e-vehicles, on electric vehicles, designing them, working for various companies, making them, yeah?
Yeah, basically I've been a designer working with EV batteries for a number of applications, primarily EV vehicles, but other applications for different types of vehicles, harbor tugs, heavy equipment.
Cool.
I got a harbor tug once.
I was just going to say, what other applications are there for EV battery? Well, let's just dive fucking in. I'm super excited about this episode.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for asking. EV batteries, I should say, basically batteries in general, have a great number of applications that most people don't even think about. Besides EV vehicles that you use for everyday use going back and forth to work, they're ideally suited for a number of other vehicles where you have a lot of use in a limited area. For instance, harbor tugs, like I mentioned, where a ship is in a harbor like New York, where there's a lot of pollution. They're used as very heavy tow vehicles. They move a very small distance, and they need a lot of torque and a lot of power in a very, city-heavy trafficked area. So the zero emissions does a great deal to cut down on pollution.
Yeah.
They're also used in the mining industry, underground mines, where you really don't want any kind of emissions.
Sure. You'll choke yourself out from the combustion byproducts. Yeah.
Right. And again, you have a short movement, periods of movement, short distances requiring a great deal of torque, a great deal of power. And you can plug these vehicles in when they're not in use. Other things that they're being used for is agricultural. Again, a limited area of use, lots of torque, lots of power.
This is really interesting to me because I've always heard car guys assert to me very confidently that electric vehicles don't have any vroom, don't have any torque,
power.
Don't have the power. And so to hear that it's, you know, a good application is a harbor tug, that's a lot of power.
Car guys, I got to be careful. I don't want to insult anybody.
Yes,
go ahead.
You're on our show. Yeah, it's perfectly
it's
right, reasonable.
Yeah.
I drove here today in a 2019 Chevy Bolt, which has left many a car guy left at the green light. Trying to be consoled by their girlfriends who would rather be with me in my car than the dude with his fast car.
And now we should make it clear that car guy is an ungendered term for my mom is a car guy.
Oh, yeah. Then that's okay. That's true.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be sexist.
My mom has referred, no, I'm just saying, my mom has referred to the bullet she used to have as her dick. So
I love it. Yeah. And some bullets are powered by electricity too. Yeah. And they're often rechargeable.
And better than a dick.
Yeah, and much better. I will have to say that if you're into power, if you're into speed, electric is where it's at.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. My little Chevy Bolt, which I have over 80,000 miles on, will pin you in your seat. it's very quick, almost too fast. When the light turns green and I look in the rearview mirror, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really should have slowed down.
We had a Prius, 2009, I want to say. We had a
Something like that, yeah.
And we both really liked it. It was the first car we'd ever been in that felt like being in a spaceship. And it was a hybrid, obviously, but it was we did not have it after I got into a drivable accident. Like, I was in a car accident, drove home. The car was totaled because the battery case had a little bit of a damage to it, and that cost more than the car. So is that still the case with EV stuff? Like, is the battery the most valuable part of the vehicle?
You know, that's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because that's one of the things that most of the detractors of EVs will always say. Well, the battery cost, you know, $5,000. Well, let's look at, we have our typical, I'm not picking on Subaru, but let's talk about Subaru. I have a Subaru, let's say, and I'm not going to buy an EV because EVs cost $5,000 to replace the battery.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Have you ever replaced the flat engine in a Subaru?
It's funny that you should mention that, because yes, I have. Yes, I have. My Forester threw a rock.
And what did it cost you?
About $8,000.
There you go.
Yeah, you cracked a head gasket or something, right?
I surely did. Yeah.
So you're going to spend $8,000 to replace that Subaru
engine. And that
was engine.
In 2005.
Right. Or you're going to spend $5,000 to replace that battery. People get an unfortunate opinion about EVs that they just won't look past what they've been told. So yes, it's expensive to replace a battery.
Cars are expensive.
Yes, but those batteries go, many of them are going up to 200,000 miles with like 10% degradation. So
200,000 miles and they still work at 90% capacity.
At 90% capacity.
So now, that's pretty good.
It's excellent.
Especially since a lot of people who are using EVs are using them for shorter driving. Not necessarily cross-country driving. You can. I'll talk about that in a little bit, because my brother and his wife have an EV and they drive across country all the time. But most people aren't doing it for like hard driving all the time. Getting
you
to
want those city miles.
Yeah, miles, 200,000 miles is going to take you a long time. Yeah.
It will. And that's the unfortunate thing, is people don't understand how to use an EV or how they should be used. I personally have had mine since 2019. I've got 85,000 miles on it.
You drive a lot.
I do drive a lot, actually, yes. I have long commute, but I love the car. It costs me 3 cents a mile. That's what I pay. Mile. I charge at home. I have never charged on the road. I did it once because I wanted to know what it was like to use one of those, superchargers. Actually, it was in front of an Excel center.
Oh, sure.
I just wanted to know what it was like.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time.
Did it feel like? Did it feel like sleeping in a hotel bed where you're like, I just wish I was at home?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like it's doing the job, but I just don't feel like I got the right rest.
You know, I think that's another thing that I want to dispel too, is people seem to think they take forever to charge. And I'm not going to exaggerate. They do take time. If you were to use the charger that came with your car, it works on a 110 system. It's called a Type 2 charger, basically. You've got the 110 volts.
Like a plug into the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be there for days. To get a full charge, for example, and I'll just use the car that I have, the Chevy Bolt, to charge using the 110 charger that comes with it. You're going to be looking at, you know, a good 18, 20 hours. No one has time for that.
Yeah. Is that from flat? Like, is that if the battery is pretty much flat?
That's
as opposed
flat.
To, because your battery doesn't go flat all that often, I would imagine.
No.
Just with a day's use, you know, if you're plugging in every night.
And I usually plug it in every night, because why not?
Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah.
I wake up to a full charge.
Right. You never know what the next day might bring.
Yeah. Can the battery, so I know with like lithium ion batteries, for example, and I don't even know if this is true anymore, but you know, 10 years ago, they would say, you know, you need to let your phone or your device run down before you charge it up. That if you keep, always going from 80 to 100, like a laptop, that's actually bad for the battery. Is there anything like that with the EV batteries?
There is. There's two schools of thought on that. The neat thing is your car has its own software that takes care of that. And the charger is actually a misnomer. When they give you that charger with your car, that 110 charger, it's not a charger. It's basically a method to deliver the power from the outlet to your car.
Oh.
The charger is in your car. It's part of what you pay for. And that's the same with a Tesla supercharger or any of the high voltage charge. Yeah, boo, right? Oh, we'll talk about that later. But it's just a method to deliver the electricity to your car.
Yeah.
So the software in your car is going to control that charge rate, and it's going to optimize that charge so that you don't have those issues.
Genius.
So it actually withholds a little bit of the top charge to keep you from overcharging your battery.
Mm.
There used to be at the beginning, people would be like, oh, we can't charge to 100%. That's like, you don't want to do that with your cell phone.
It's like going, it's like squeezing the gas, yes. the gas handle when you're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that.
Don't top up.
Yeah. People look at you when you're at the gas station. They're like, oh, don't do it.
Your car won't allow you to do that.
Yeah.
It actually controls the amount of charge it puts into the battery. It won't allow you to overcharge.
That's very cool.
So type 2 charger takes, you know, like can take 18 to 20 hours.
Yeah, basically you've got level one, level two, and I should say that. Level one, I apologize, I actually made an error there. Level one is your 110 volts.
Okay.
Level two is your 220 volts. And that's when you install a charger from a third party in your garage, in your home. That's 220, 240 volts. That's going to use a different connector.
And that's just basically it's basically just like a double breaker, just like you have for your dishwasher or like other larger appliances that aren't using 240. They just use two circuits to get 220 from two 110s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like your electric range, your air conditioner is going to use
it's not that expensive. I think it's maybe a couple $100 at most to do something like that if you've got the capacity in your
If you have the room in your panel already. Right.
And that's the key. If you have a very old home, you know, you might have a problem with the box having enough capacity.
Do you mean like the one you're sitting in right now that we have been warned? Do not plug an EV into anything in your home.
But what I have coworkers that have done is they get a second service installed on their garage direct, and then it's like, well, I'll just get 240 to my garage, or I'll just get a regular electrical connection to my garage, a second service, and it'll power all the lights in my garage door opener and that sort of thing. But then also I have 220 right there for a charger for my car. Yeah.
I mean, because of the work we're doing in our house, we just had a new breaker board installed, so I'm sure that we would probably have no problem putting a 220 volt charger in our garage at this point, but we wouldn't have before we got that new breaker board.
Same for us.
Yeah, we just got a new breaker board, and then one of the things he did say was, "You can run out to the garage, but don't do it right now because you don't have it like designed for that just yet." And it's like, "No, we got it. It's all good."
Yeah.
It's still not crazy expensive. Yeah. And what is the charge rate for a 220 volt?
Well, that's the big advantage too. And like I charge on a regular rate. I don't charge at a discounted rate. If you had a separate box, a separate service in your garage, you could set that up with your electric company to charge off peak.
Oh, sure.
When you're sleeping, you're charging your car at an off-peak rate, you're going to save even more money.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So you just charge anytime. You just have it so you can run it anytime.
Right. Now, my primary reason for buying my EV was economic first and environmental second. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I did it for saving money. But I also am a bit of a tree hugger in that in my neighborhood, I'm fortunate that they put in a solar farm.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to buy in early, and I bought shares in my solar farm.
Hell yeah.
So my electricity is 100% solar.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's awesome.
So my travel carbon usage is zero.
You have a sun-powered car.
I have a sun-powered car.
That's fucking incredible.
I think it is.
It's basically Superman.
It's a solar sailor.
Amazing. I would have a sun-powered car if he'd ever get his goddamn driver's license.
So when did you start working in the industry? Do you remember what year it was?
I do, actually. It was, a quick review of that.
Yeah.
I started working in engineering. It would have been, this is ridiculously long ago. It was 37 years ago.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
I was an engineer in engineering for 34 years.
Like right out of school, basically.
And for the last 10 years of my engineering career, I worked for a very large interconnect company, the second largest in the world. And for that 10 years, I spent my time designing interconnects within EV car batteries.
Ah.
I worked on the systems that monitored battery voltage and charge state and temperature of the internal cells within an EV car battery. I worked for pretty much every major cell manufacturer and many of the car EV car manufacturers that you know.
What vehicles were on the market back then? Like when you first started, what were you, you know, what vehicles were you designing
for? Or was it a different application entirely?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there were many manufacturers, some that I can talk about, some that I signed NDAs and I'm not allowed to talk about. Well, I can't tell you much about the battery systems, but some of the newbies, the new kids on the block, there were a twinkle in people's eye, were like Rivian.
Oh, yeah.
They had not even started producing at the time. Tesla, of course, mm-hmm. But there was a really neat one called Fisker.
Oh, like the scissors.
Yes, exactly, but they weren't the scissor people.
Yeah.
They came and went. There were a lot of boutique auto manufacturers that came and went.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there were the major ones, too. You know, Ford and Chevy mm-hmm. and Stellantis now. But there were a lot of battery manufacturers we worked with that unfortunately came and went. We also worked for some major OEM battery manufacturers that worked for larger car manufacturers because some of the manufacturers out there do not make their own batteries.
Sure. Mm.
Tesla is unique in that mm-hmm. regard. They make their own batteries.
And they blow up their own batteries. I mean, that's that they really, they just, it's an artisanal fire experience.
Exactly. I am glad you bring that up because the one thing I did want to talk about was the fire, the rate of fires in
yes.
electric cars. That's another thing everybody's worried about. And I will say that Tesla does have more vehicle fires than any other manufacturer of electric vehicles. And, well, they're very hush-hush about their issues. However, EV cars, and I'm talking per mile driven, mm-hmm. I'm not talking the number of fires, I'm talking per mile driven, so it's an apples to apples comparison.
Mm-hmm.
They have fewer car fires than internal combustion engines.
I mean, internal combustion engine is literally a car
right
powered by fiery explosions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Less fire, fewer explosions.
Yeah. And we've got a big tank in the back of it that's mm-hmm. ready to blow.
Yeah.
So EVs, from a fire standpoint, are safer than an ICE vehicle, but they are spectacular. There's no getting around that. They're difficult to put out,
mm-hmm.
and they're very spectacular when they do go.
It's neat to think about that anytime you're taking a lot of energy and putting it in a very compressed area, whether that's hydrogen or you know gasoline or some sort, like a propellant even, it's a recipe for that energy being released very quickly in an uncontrolled way.
Like a toddler in a church.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like so, putting too much energy in a space where it doesn't have enough
room. Yeah, I mean, kind of though.
Yeah.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah. So it's like, it's you wouldn't think that like a lithium ion battery and like, you know, gasoline are similar in how they catch fire. It's different chemically or mechanically, but it's the same thing. It's a whole bunch of this energy that's waiting to be tapped, and it all gets loose.
And that is a downside of EVs. I mean, I'm not here to say, you know, I'm not their cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
An EV, because of the chemicals that are used in the batteries, they provide their own oxygen.
Hmm.
So when they do light, they're very difficult to put out.
Sure.
The oxygen is there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
you can't, and it's not coming from outside the fire where you can smother it.
It's,
right. Yeah. Right. It's internal to the battery itself, which is why when the fire department does manage to put them out, they've been known to spontaneously reignite.
Oh.
So
sure.
It can be difficult. So one of the things I really do want to address, because I want to address the misnomers that are out there.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
And I'm going to be flat out until recently when, a certain president of ours, actually of someone else's, not
someone
mine.
Someone else's, yeah.
Yeah, not mine.
That asshole.
And his, and his new love affair with EVs.
well, only one man.
But only one man,
one
right?
One EV, specifically.
And I do want to address why I really dislike that vehicle. And I'll talk about the good and the bad. But there's a huge movement out there that was against EVs. And one of the biggest reasons that they would bring up as to why EVs were horrible was that they cost more or caused more carbon emissions.
Oh, is this the weight of the tires thing?
Well, that's part of it. But mostly what they said is that it costs more carbon to build an EV than an ICE vehicle. And it's true.
The initial investment.
Mining
the materials for the battery.
But then you would also have to prove that it caused more carbon emission, that an ICE vehicle caused less carbon emission than it took to build the EV.
Over the lifetime
of the vehicle, which I doubt is accurate because they produce a lot of carbon emissions.
As a whole, if you took a conglomerate of all the EVs and all the equivalent ICE vehicles, the EV will contribute half the carbon over the lifetime of the vehicle as a typical internal combustion engine.
So it's that's just production and use.
Production and use.
You're making an investment in the carbon use up front.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing that the detractors seem to forget is they say, well, what if your electricity comes from coal?
Oh.
It still is less carbon emissions if you use the dirtiest coal in Pennsylvania to generate your electricity. But what the detractors forget, they seem to think that gas just spontaneously occurs.
It's magically teleported into your tank.
There's no carbon emissions in the production of gas.
The gas is put in a truck that is powered by gas that is then driven somewhere else.
But it came from a refinery that uses electricity that generates massive amounts of carbon to refine the gas.
There's no winners in the carbon emission game.
The jack pumps that pump the oil out of the ground that put it into a pipeline that needs to be pressurized to get that to the refinery. And the other thing that they always forget, gasoline doesn't just emit carbons.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It emits nitrous oxides that are highly poisonous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. VOCs.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tons of it just by sitting there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But exhaust puts out tons of NO2, which is highly poisonous. When one of my factories, and you can't avoid this, one of the factories that was in China.
Mm-hmm.
China massively switched to EVs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, they didn't do it in the most, democratic way.
Yeah.
They don't do much in a very democratic way.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean,
that's just their day. That's just
but let's not compare like their existent high-speed rail system to our non-existent high-speed rail system.
I'm not throwing shade. I'm just stating facts.
Yeah.
I was in one of their bullet trains, and I remember we are about 2 miles out of the station. I'm sorry, that would be about three kilometers, whatever, out of the station. And I looked out the window, and I was like, oh, my God, we're moving. I had no idea the station was so smooth.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I started going there to China about 12 years ago, at first I thought it was just always cloudy.
Mm.
And then I realized it was like Pittsburgh in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I stopped traveling, when I changed careers, the skies were blue and beautiful. Yeah.
I've heard similar things. I've been working in a manufacturing industry for about 14 years now, and very similar things, which were when those factory visits that friend of the show Eric Knight would go on in China, and it was just a different, dirtier place than it is now because of all the EV use that they are now embracing. Well,
changing manufacturing, switching to nuclear for a lot of their power. They're doing a lot of things that we're not.
Hydroelectric. Yeah. Their buses are electric. Yeah. They're EV, but they also run off of overhead wires. But when they run out of town, meaning they get into more rural areas, they drop their pantograph.
Oh.
They drop that and they're going on battery power.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Like streetcars used to be powered off of. That's super cool.
But they can move beyond that.
Like a bumper car with a battery that can go off grid.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful there. Granted, I would not want to live there.
Well,
we had a factory in Hungary, and the amount of EVs in Europe is just beyond belief.
Hmm.
And the pollution that they've eliminated is incredible. Now, you said you had somebody that traveled across the country with their EV.
Yeah, my brother and his wife got a Ioniq.
They're in California, right?
Yeah, they're in California, and they got a Hyundai Ioniq about 6 months ago, and they've taken it all the way to New Mexico and back to California. And the range on an Ioniq is about 250 miles. And they have, like, because they just bought the vehicle, there's like a 1 year free membership to a charging club. So they like figure out where their chargers are along the way. So, I mean, what they have to give up is some time. Because about every 200 to 225 miles or so, they have to find someplace to stop and charge.
For how
which
long?
Takes about 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's longer than stopping for gas. Mm-hmm.
That's so much energy being transferred so fast.
It's really neat. And that's not even a type 2, is it? That's a type 3 or
that
something.
That would be the level 3 charger.
So a level 3.
Now, those are 400 to 1,000 volts.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
So that would be your Tesla superchargers? So
not a thing someone could have in their house unless they're fantastically wealthy or... No.
Those systems
something
cost, $100,000 just for one station.
Sure.
Now, some of those, I mean, they all do 400 volts. So what your Hyundai is doing there is probably 400 volts. Mm-hmm. What the Tesla does with their superchargers is it's taking that 800, 900 volts. So they're doing 80% of their capacity. They're charging in about 15 minutes. So they're really cutting that time down.
Right.
I personally... I'm a car guy, as you said. I love cars.
Yeah.
I have an obscene amount of cars. My number one transportation is my EV.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not take it on the road because I don't have, I'm also impatient.
Mm.
But when I come home at the end of the day, my range during the summer is about 280 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come home at night, I plug it in anyway. Just because, hey, it's there. I'm sleeping. I might as well charge it.
Well, be prepared.
You say during the summer. Do they get different mileage in the winter versus the summer because of the heat transfer?
Excellent question. Batteries function better in ideal temperatures.
Yeah.
And they lose a significant amount of their charge. This is one
just
of
like
the negatives of EVs. Exactly. It is a negative. If you're looking for an EV, make sure that your EV has a heat pump. Because you're going to lose about 20-25% of the range.
Like a Peltier cooler or whatever?
Yeah, something on that order.
Yeah.
What's the ideal temperature range? I know we have listeners from all over, and most of them are going to be in Minnesota where, you know, we do not have the ideal temperature range.
Right.
No. But what's the, I mean, if you were to live in maybe a nicer climb, what's a great state for that?
Oh, that's San Diego.
Yeah.
Year round is the best place to have an EV.
Yeah. Doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too cold.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you can do to increase your range. Now, I admit it. I'm a city girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to put up with cold. I'm not going to put up with heat. So I use my air conditioning. I use my heater.
Mm-hmm.
I have an electric seats. I have a steering wheel. I mean, if it's 20 below, my car is glowing orange. And that will significantly cut your range.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Because it's using the same battery for everything, whereas an ICE vehicle has a battery and a combustion engine, and the battery's powering things like the lights and the heater. But interesting.
The other thing for David and Jane that cuts range, which I'm sure Sin knows, is when they're gaining elevation. When you're going uphill, it's gonna cut the range a lot more than flat roads or downhill. So,
does playing music or like does something like that drain it at all? Does that have any effect?
No, there's two fun points, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tim, because there's one thing about EVs that is just so fun. I did do some designs for semis, and I know this is just an absurd point, but I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Semi-trucks?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
In Europe, semi-trucks are not allowed to be electrical, the cabs, but the trailers are.
Oh.
In the U.S., the trailers are not allowed to be electric powered, but the cabs are.
In America, truck drive you.
So there's something called regenerative braking.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And in my Bolt, I think I've used the brakes maybe during a day I might use them twice.
It just brakes for you?
Yeah, not exactly. So I put it in regenerative mode. And what happens is when I give it, apologies for the expression, gas, the motor kicks in. And the fun thing is there's no gears.
Right.
You just go from zero to whatever very fast. And when I let off the gas, the motor turns into a generator.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that generator generates electricity, which creates drag, which slows the vehicle and charges my battery. So it dumps that energy back into the battery and charges it.
Yeah, I know on my, I have a Prius, and I know on my Prius that when I brake, it charges the batteries.
We have a hybrid vehicle that does something similar.
Yep. And in a pure EV, that's considerable. And you get to the point where you do it, and it's incredibly efficient.
And so you're not pushing on a brake pedal
not
very
at all.
Often. You're just taking your foot off the acceleration pedal, and that brakes it enough.
I don't even touch the brake when I come to a stop.
That's so crazy.
Because it just stops, and it holds it there.
I understand now why they can be self-driving, if that's, you know, in any kind of way.
Or where it would make more sense than a nice vehicle.
People who own EVs don't get brake jobs. And that's the other thing. ICE engines require maintenance.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
My first suggested maintenance is at 150,000 miles.
Jesus Christ. Well,
and the wear on brake pads
But your oil filter, Stan, your
I
oil
know,
filter.
Right?
The wear on brake pads is actually a very significant cause of environmental impact that cars have. Brake pads are made out of heat resistance materials. Mm-hmm. It wasn't uncommon not that long ago for them to be made out of asbestos. Now it's different materials, obviously, but still, like, shit that gets worn down into microparticles that are just off the roadside and going directly into the water table often. And, you know, brake pads are fucking terrible for the environment.
My wallet.
And your wallet. And oil changes. You don't want to talk about carbon emissions again. Yeah. You know, that oil had to be generated.
And then thrown away. They
not like they recycle it and use it again.
They are disposing of it in good, in decent enough ways, but still, it's not recycled or anything like that.
You're putting a lot of faith that someone's spending the money to get it recycled properly.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like it's disposed of properly.
There used to be environmental regulations that would force you to do that, but not so much.
Mm-hmm. The recycling of batteries, that's another thing that people who are detractors bring up. They do have methods now that are incredibly effective at recycling batteries, and they're going to get better. They're expensive to make. That lithium is worth a lot, and they want it back.
It's a real pain in the ass to mine.
It is.
Yeah.
And they want it back.
Well, and right now with these, absolutely insane tariffs specifically on the precious metals and the different metals and magnets and things that we get almost entirely from China, is now, like, if someone's thinking about getting an electric vehicle, is now the time to do it? Because the manufacturing seems like it's possibly in jeopardy.
I would, until we buy Greenland.
Sure.
That's the point. So like the lithium that's in the battery can be used to make a new battery.
Yes. It's incredibly recoverable, but it's expensive. They are working on cheaper and cheaper ways to recover it. And there's an amazing company out there right now that's recycling all lithium, including car batteries, and they do it all at one time, meaning they'll recycle your phone battery, your EV car battery. They do it all.
Your medication.
Your tugboat.
I had a client actually that was their whole business was lithium recycling for batteries and vehicles.
I was once a lithium powered battery.
Mom was a lithium powered battery.
I know, it was me.
I've heard people talk about, you know, like when batteries are not, they don't have enough capacity to be used for a car anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a practical sense, at least, those batteries getting harvested and used for battery storage for like solar and wind and things like that, to have like a small battery farm. Is that just like a fun thing to think about, or is that something practical that actually happens?
It's a fun thing to think about.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this in a bad way.
Yeah.
That gentleman down the street that nobody wants to talk to, he's going to take that old Prius and he's going to rip it apart, and he's going to have two battery banks in his garage that are powered by homemade solar cells.
Yeah.
And he's going to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But the same manufacturers that make EV car batteries are making power cells for your home. An amazing vehicle And I'm not a big fan of EV trucks. I don't think there's a reason for them right now. But you will find people that like them, that like trucks, that don't have businesses that rely on a truck.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. They just want a truck. They don't need a truck.
Right.
Pavement princesses is what we call them.
Yes, I love that.
Yes.
So the Ford Lightning would be a wonderful pavement princess. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not... You always see them towing like a, you know, a Bobcat or something, but they're not very good for that use.
They're very clean.
Yes, they're always clean, you know.
And big enough to kill two toddlers and not even feel it.
The bed is spotless, not a dent.
The platinum edition.
Yes. Right.
But they do have a two-way battery, meaning they can power your home. In the time of like a power outage.
Sure.
Wow.
You can buy a two-way switch, if you will, for your truck, that when the power goes out, it can act as your backup generator. The idea is eventually, and when we talk about the use of the power grid, everybody's, oh, the power grid, you know, we don't have enough power to charge the EVs. It's not a problem. It isn't a problem in Europe. It's not a problem in China. Right. It won't be here.
Yeah.
But eventually, you'll be able to charge your EV in the garage, and you'll be able to sell the power you're not using back to the power company when they get into a case where they might have a brownout. Like in LA, the power company might call you up or call your car up and say, hey, do you agree to sell us, you know, 80 kilowatts? And your car might say, sure. And you can sell that power back to the grid.
What's happening like with solar right now?
Yes, yeah. Exactly what's happening with solar. Well, that's going to happen with EVs.
So I think it's time to talk about the elephant in the room, as it were, and situation with Tesla. Because I think a big reason that a lot of people I know want to buy EVs, but the only one they've ever heard of is a Tesla or maybe a Prius.
Or that's which the
is,
cool one.
Most manufacturers have an electric vehicle.
And that's the thing is like, I know, I mean, a lot of people I know have a hybrid vehicle. We have one, you know, Tim has one. There's a lot of hybrid vehicles out there. But if someone was looking to actually switch to full electric and they've only ever heard of Tesla, first of all, let's talk about why Teslas are bad beyond the Elon Musk problem. Because yes, I mean, he's a fucking Nazi and a psychopath. So maybe don't support him, but
that should be reason enough.
But
for whatever reason,
if you're if you're one of those, I like to separate the creation from the creator kind of people who still reads
nice
Neil Gaiman and Harry Potter, then I would ask you, what are some actual reasons non-related to Musk that Teslas
completely,
are no
completely separated from Nazis?
I do want to say one thing. I have to say one thing about Musk. Okay. He did destroy Tesla. Tesla had a great thing going.
Yeah.
And Musk came in and absolutely destroyed the company.
Because as always, he didn't actually invent it or start it or have anything to do with the beginnings of it.
Nothing.
Yes.
His big thing was naming the models so they'd spell out sexy. I
Jesus
kid you not.
Fucking crazy.
They do. They spell out sexy. That's what he wanted.
Cybertruck spells out sexy.
It's the Tesla X.
Model S, Model 3, Model X, Model Y.
And he spelled it with a 3 because he's a fucking loser.
Everything he does makes sense if you imagine him as like a 13-year-old boy on 4chan.
He's a meme lord.
Right.
He wishes. He wishes he was a meme lord. Wannabe.
So I went to look at a Tesla when I bought my car. I really did. I gave them full due. And here were the issues I had with Tesla. They're a great product. They have a wonderful battery. Their battery uses a round cell. Most car batteries out there use what's called a pouch or a flat cell. They're basically the same thing. It's just a slightly different design of cells. The round cell has certain advantages. And I dealt with that in the design work that I did. However, the things that are wrong with Tesla, great range, unfortunately adds a lot of weight because the way they get range is to make a bigger battery. By making a bigger battery, you have a lot more weight. When you have a lot more weight, it wears on the tires. I replaced the tires in my Bolt at 65,000 miles.
Okay.
Which is about average for any car.
Yeah.
And they didn't need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. But it was
Minnesota winters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was fall. I decided I had to do it.
Don't fuck around.
So Tesla wears tires a little bit quicker. You can get around that. But the fit and finish of a Tesla is terrible. So if you're into fit and finish, you're paying a lot of money for a luxury car. that has a horrible fit and finish.
Misaligned doors. For people that,
So fit and finish is like how the paneling goes on, the gaps in the paneling, the quality and of the work done on the paint or exterior of the car.
Yep.
Is it purely aesthetic, or are there like performance or mechanical?
It's purely aesthetic.
Okay.
But when you're paying that kind of money.
Right. No, exactly. Right? You're buying a luxury product. It should look good.
Yep.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint about Tesla, when I went and bought the Chevy, I needed a hatchback. Mm. I love the utility of a hatchback.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. In 2019, Tesla did not have a hatchback.
Mm.
My biggest complaint about Tesla is user interface.
Oh.
Yeah. You're a tech heavy, tech savvy kind of guy. Is
gadgety.
Is GUI important?
I build and solder and program my own keyboards because it's a great hobby. That is your primary interface into a computer is how you interact with it, how you get it to do what you want it to do.
Right.
And so it's important to me to invest in that because it's how you do the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're driving down the road. It's Minnesota. Temperature changes fast.
Oh, yeah. 50 degrees in a few hours sometimes.
Heavy traffic. You need to turn up the heat. You're in a Tesla. How do you do that? You reach over to a screen. You go through the menus until you find temperature. Then when you find temperature, you have to find heat or cold. You have to scroll until you find the temperature you want.
Death trap.
Exactly. Now, you want to turn up the fan speed.
Oh, God.
That's another.
Different menu.
Yeah. You've got to go through menus to change the radio. You've got to go through menus to deal with cruise control. Everything is driven by that screen.
I love me a good knob. That's all I can say. I'm a knob girl. I'm an old-fashioned knob girl.
I saw someone talking about this, and I didn't verify this in any way. But some people were having this debate about user interface and talking about Tesla's iPad-driven interface, essentially, right? And how it's the only way you can do anything in the car. And someone was like, oh, you're old-fashioned, whatever. And someone was like, NASA shuttles use tactile switches in everything.
Yes.
Still. They don't use touch screens for anything except for, like, iPad-type stuff that they might use for recording lab data and results of experiments and things like that. The actual shuttle stations, environmental controls, it's all tactile. It's all a button you push.
If you need to make something happen quickly, that's the way to make it happen quickly is to press a button or flip a switch.
Right.
It's just faster.
You don't have someone on a space shuttle that can debug the code of a user interface, but you have a whole crew of people that can remove an electrical panel and replace a switch.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I one of the things I like about all my cars right now is all of them have steering wheel controls.
Sure.
For a multitude of functions. You know, before I ejected Marilyn Manson from my entire playlist, if he right. came up during my rotation, I was able to just move on.
Yeah, skip.
Yeah, I didn't have to go through a menu to get rid of him. You know, I can turn up volume. I can turn up the heat. I can turn off the steering wheel heat. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to take my hands off the wheel or my eyes off the road.
Exactly.
Right.
How do you feel about self-driving cars? I mean, do you think other EVs are going to do them despite all of
Rivian already is, right? They just recently announced a thing.
Okay.
That's another thing about Tesla that's dead wrong.
Yeah.
Tesla is right about everything. Just ask them. Tesla's self-driving technology actually is like on the verge of being completely shut down. Their system is entirely camera focused, camera activated.
30 cameras or something on the damn thing.
And no LiDAR is the big one, right?
None. Yeah. They refuse because they're better than everyone else. They believe cameras are the way to go.
But it's optical recognition.
That's it.
Yeah.
It optically doesn't recognize a child and is knocked over. You know, it just drives right through.
Yeah.
You know. Dummies.
Isn't from a cost perspective, Tesla is I think one of the more expensive options. for an EV, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's another reason you don't want to buy one, because they have been dropping their prices because they're not selling.
Well,
because
their stock is plummeting. I was going to say earlier, you mentioned that a Tesla supercharger station, you're looking at about $100,000 per charging station.
Yes.
And I would just like to, allegedly point out that, that's really a good bang for your vandalism buck when you're talking about lighting something on fire. Like, if you're supposed to really think about capitalism, the sense of getting value for your work, right? Like, that's really
yeah, and I was doing some research because I asked David and Jane, I'm like, when your free subscription runs out, how much does it cost to charge at one of these fast charging stations? Mm-hmm. They didn't actually know because they aren't worrying about it right now. Mm. So I did some research, and the Tesla charging stations are much more expensive.
Huh.
Than
you're at a Tesla station, there's a little bit of cachet that goes with that.
And you can get an adapter. So like you can charge an Ioniq at a Tesla charging station with an adapter, but you would spend more than if you use a charging station that is already.
And you have to buy the adapter.
Yes, and you have to buy the adapter. So not only is the car more expensive, but if you want to charge it outside of your home, it's also more expensive.
So you're talking about the self-driving and the optical recognition. I mentioned LiDAR. It's radar, but with lasers.
Yes.
I mean, that's a simplification, but...
Lasedar.
So, and I think that's what Rivian's self-driving thing that they just announced was mostly LiDAR, mm-hmm. but then there is like an optical element as well from a camera or two or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, probably the... best self-driving system out there right now is General Motors.
Huh.
They have a fantastic self-driving system. They have it in their pickup trucks. They have it in their new Equinox. Mm-hmm. Their
and
EV
it's more
Equinox.
Than just like self-parking. It is like an actual self-driving situation.
Self-driving.
It's like cruise control.
Self-parking cars have been around for a while because mm-hmm. I remember being in one for a rental and my brother going, hold on, watch this. And he pushed the button and we sat there for so long while it figured it out. And he's like, I should have just parked.
I will say, I don't mean to dismiss Tesla. Yeah. They have some wonderful engineers, but... Right now, it'd be probably the last EV I'd want. And it's not just because of who's associated with it, but because there's so many better options out there right now.
If you were buying a new car today, let's say your Bolt is no more for whatever reason, poof, mm-hmm. it's gone, and you need to buy a new car today, what would you buy?
That's an excellent question.
Let's say money's no object for you, you can afford whatever you want. What would you get?
Okay, if money were no object,
yeah.
And then I'd like to talk about affordable
EVs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
If money were no object, I'd probably look at the Cadillac Lyriq.
Ooh.
Or I'd look at the Polestar.
Okay.
The Polestar is a joint venture between a Chinese company and Volvo.
Oh.
It's a beautiful car. It's been around for a while. They started out with like a Tesla-like dealership network,
mm-hmm.
But it's a fantastic vehicle. I think they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. They have incredible range. They're very dependable. And they are up and coming.
Hmm.
I'd either do that or I'd do the Cadillac Lyriq.
Let's say it's a more affordable situation. You're actually buying a car for real sin, not luxury sin.
let's pretend it's not like a dual income, no kids buying an electric car situation. It's someone that's more concerned.
You need to be watching your budget. It's 2025.
Okay, it's 2025. I have to watch my own budget.
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking at the Hyundai line, as your family has. I think those are excellent vehicles. I'd also take a serious look at the Chevy Equinox.
Oh.
But I definitely look at the Hyundai line. I look at the Chevy Equinox. The ones that kind of scare me are the ones that are just kind of hopping into it like a Me Too. The ones I'd avoid are like the Fiat 500.
Hmm.
I can't imagine driving a car called a Me Too. I'm sorry. I just, just
canceled.
Yeah, right. It's
right.
Just, Molly got Me Too'd.
It's like a Nova. Like it just feels like.
No, you know what?
It just feels like really funny to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried too about the Ford Mach-E.
Mm.
its design looks exactly like a Tesla, but it's just they haven't really. I don't think that Ford's taken it quite as seriously as they should.
Mm.
They've kind of like gotten into it for the sake of wanting to be an EV manufacturer. They haven't come out. They don't know what they want to do with EVs yet.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
They haven't found their niche.
Do they share body? I know that, like, I've heard about other cars, like, basically sharing skeletons, as it were.
Or like frames between manufacturers.
Yeah. Do you think the reason that the Mach-E looks like a Tesla is because they're sharing frames, or is Tesla too jealous?
No, Tesla is very protective of their. They're very.
I figured.
Tesla keeps everything under their roof. To their credit, and that's one of the reasons that Trump is so supportive of them, because they're 100% made in America. Tesla does manufacture their vehicles in the country they sell them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you buy a Chinese Tesla, it's made in China.
Mm.
China has a 100% tariff, by the way, on any car that you buy outside of China.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had that forever. And it doesn't matter if it's American or British, or it's always been that way. But Tesla builds all their cars that are sold here.
Okay. I only recently heard about the frames thing, and it blew my little mind.
They just won't pay union rates.
No,
of course
not.
Countries that have union rates.
Right.
No, of course not.
Or anything like that. But they will build them in those countries.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen people talk about Rivian as like tapping into that niche of Tesla where it's like a gadgety car, a nerdy person's car. If you're going for a Tesla for neat software features, Rivian is kind of like a good approximation of that. My weed guy drives a Rivian, so I've sat in one a couple times stationary. And you know, it doesn't have great leg room, but it was pretty neat to look at. It was real fancy looking.
It's a boutique car.
A boutique car. That's great.
It's a boutique car. They're very fascinating to look at. They're a truck, they're an SUV, but they're not as incapable as a Cybertruck. But you're not going to find a Rivian truck on the job site. You're going to find it parked in front of the nightclub. It's going to be in front of the fancy restaurant.
Sure.
It's going to be parked in front of an Edina mansion.
Yeah.
They're not cheap.
They're not day laborers.
No.
They're hedge fund managers.
What? Exactly.
Do you want talk about the fucking absolute disaster of the Cybertruck?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because everything is bad, right?
They're all, like, I will tell you this.
They're the worst looking car I've ever seen.
Oh my God, they're horrible.
When you see one in person, it is like the first time we saw one in person was in our neighborhood, and I literally stopped in my tracks to just be like, that's so fucking worse than
God,
I thought.
It's horrible.
It's worse than I could have possibly.
I saw someone.
Pictures do not do it justice.
No.
For real.
You see
it for real, you're just like, that is way shittier than I even thought.
The geometry is somehow more appealing in still images. It is really, really bad.
The finish just looks dirty and matte and undone. It looks like you see someone got an accident and they have that one door that needs to get painted,
it's
and they
like
haven't
had
a paint appointment.
They bondoed it up and it's not painted
that's
over
what
yet.
It looks like.
The Sin and I believe we are both of an age that we remember like old metal roller skates. And that to me is like somebody said, I like this so much, I want to make it into a truck.
It's DeLorean 2. Like, it's so funny that they're like, I'm going to make a stainless steel vehicle. How, as if, I don't know, it's like banking a huge ship and being like, I'm going to call it the Titanic 2.
They did that.
Like,
by the way, they rust.
Huh?
They rust.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Of course they do.
Yeah, they rust. If you're in a salt friendly state, Minnesota, and you drive it in the winter.
Like the Utah flats.
The one in our neighborhood, the person parks it on the street, and I'm just like, how are you? I mean, good luck. Okay.
All winter, we were just watching it, like, can't wait for it to look. Do you see some? Do you see some?
It's going to rust. It's going to get little spots on it. One of the things, there's a Tesla dealer in my town. And I drive by there 2 years ago. There wasn't a car in the lot.
Mm-hmm. The one in Eden Prairie?
I actually live out in the northwest suburbs. So out in, rhymes with Rogers. So there's a dealership out there, and they couldn't keep them in the lot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You drive by there now, And it looks like the mall at Christmas. It's just there are Cybertrucks lined up like dumpsters behind a Kmart. It's they're just it's the lot is packed.
I mean, that's a good use for them when you think about it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. They have you seen the ad where they put it up against the Ford F-150 and the Tesla pulls the Ford?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's just a test of torque, right?
No, the ad was faked.
Oh,
of course.
The Ford F-150 couldn't do the same thing to the Cybertruck.
Yeah. Well, they disconnected the features that would allow the Ford to pull it. They also disconnected the safety features in the Tesla.
Uh-huh.
Because when somebody took a Ford and hooked it up to the Tesla and they didn't touch anything, the Ford basically pulled it around it got dragged.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. Child with a doll.
It's like you watch a commercial, you're like, that's not even how trucks work.
No.
No.
My favorite is the guy that was like, Tesla's Cybertruck is bulletproof. Let's demonstrate. And then shot his car twice and was like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't work, did it? No.
But also, even if it was bulletproof, you're standing in front of it and firing a gun at it. What?
Where do you think the bullet is going to go?
What do you think bulletproof means?
One of the very first times Elon Musk showed it off at a show or a talk or something, he was like talking about how indestructible it was and took a hammer to a window and it just went clean through. Like, just like instantly.
Which
just
apparently it doesn't take anywhere near a hammer to make those windows shatter.
Oh, my God.
No, they're just,
just a little bit of spark plug ceramic like everything else.
Did he think it was made of vibranium
something? No. So I couldn't even begin to guess what goes through that man's head other than ketamine at a high rate. please. Like, what went wrong? Like, when you saw it, other than the obvious hideous design, like, were you looking through the specs and you were like, Jesus, this is bad? Like, I mean, were there obvious signs to you?
Well, the whole thing was just no engineer could have built that car with an engineering mind and said, this is what I want. This is well engineered.
A billionaire vanity project.
This was exactly a vanity project. This was Musk all the way taking over the company and saying, this is what we're going to do. And he drove that project home. I don't know if you remember when they released it. I actually tuned in to watch that show live because I was really interested to see what they were going to do.
Right.
And when they released it, and I remember listening to the crowd, and of course they've replaced
the
audio.
They planted a bunch of people in the crowd.
Oh, it was live.
Yeah.
It was live, and literally you could hear, can I swear on this button?
Yeah, okay.
Literally hear somebody going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because they thought it was a joke. People were laughing. And then the realization came that this was real.
Yeah.
That this wasn't a joke. They were waiting for the real car and it never came.
Oh.
I don't understand how anybody buys them. I don't care how
it's
much
virtue
you want to
it's
suck.
Virtue signaling. I mean that's you know, people buy them to own the libs.
I wanna suck Elon's dick so much, I'm gonna buy this ugly motherfucking car and convince myself it's not ugly.
Masterful gambit, sir.
It's not just ugly. I mean it is from what I understand, if you get into a fender bender, you total it.
It's bad at driving.
It's badly built.
It gets
built.
Stuck in mud.
It's like, bad if you want a car. It's bad if you want a truck. It's bad if you want an EV. It looks like shit.
It's bad if you want a cyber. There's no way it's good.
Is there any I know we're getting close to the end of the episode here, but I mean, I just want to make sure that we've said anything you want to talk about. You mentioned before that your first concern was economic, your second concern was environmental. For the person who's like deciding that their number one reason is environmental, are there better vehicles out there that do a better job and for environmental reasons? You know what I mean? Like, is there other than obviously, you know, don't buy a Tesla because that man is trying to ruin the earth. But like, are there other than in terms of the company's ethos, like, are there vehicles that are better for the environment?
More environmental
impact. Within the EV?
That's a really good question.
I sprung it on you. So if you, you don't did. Have an answer, it's okay.
Oh, no. Actually, I've thought about this a great deal.
Wonderful.
If you were to look at actually pure environmental, what is the best car I can buy for purely environmental reasons, I'm going to stand by EV.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at zero emissions, and it's not just a carbon footprint. It's the poison that comes out of those exhausts. Well,
Is there a specific... I think Molly might be asking, is there a specific car that stands out? EV above.
And I was going to get
No,
you're totally okay with this. I'm going to go, and I'm going to list a couple.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the Hyundai line.
Mm.
I'm going to go back with, and you can look at any of them, but what you're going to want to look for, and it's not going to be the car you're going to want to take on the road.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're going to want to look for the car that is the smallest, lightest EV.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is you're going to get the quickest payback on that carbon exchange. The smaller the battery, the less energy went into building it, the less weight it has.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, it's the smallest impact when they built it.
Sure, because that's where all the... Yep. Yeah.
But the range is... You're going to sacrifice range.
You're going to sacrifice range.
Yeah, I've got a friend who has a Leaf.
I was just going to say the Nissan Leaf I've
heard about. And that is like a 60-mile range or something.
Okay, I want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
The Leaf almost killed EVs.
Yeah.
And just real quick, I hope we have enough time.
Yeah, definitely.
We got all the time.
The Leaf almost killed the EV from the very beginning. The Leaf had an air-cooled battery. It was a horrible design.
Yeah.
The Leaf actually had, I think it was like 12 bars when you bought it. There was a bar scale on the right side of the dash.
Like your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you owned the vehicle, the battery state would lose bars.
Like it couldn't get up to a full 12 anymore.
Oh, no. It could, but that was the condition of your battery. So as time went on, the ability for your battery to charge to its original capacity degraded.
Because even though it still showed you being a full 12 bars, it was less than the original 12.
I probably didn't explain that very
well.
Okay. It had 100% capacity when you bought it.
Yes.
After 6 months, it had 95% capacity.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's fast.
After a year, it had 80% capacity.
That's so bad.
After 2 years, it could be down as low as 60%.
Oof.
And eventually, you'd have all these Leafs out there that people were giving away because they had 3 bars.
A Nissan Pinto.
Yeah, exactly. So that EV almost killed the industry.
Is it because... the air cooling wasn't efficient enough and the heat is damaging batteries?
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
It could not cool itself.
What was their reasoning for an air-cooled battery? Did it save money somehow?
Yeah, it was money.
Yeah. It's got to be capitalism. It ruins everything.
It's just horrible design.
Not a Leaf, but what kind of cars, you know, with that same kind of shorter range, lighter vehicles?
Looking in the Hyundai family.
The Hyundais. Almost any of the Hyundais.
Okay.
Sure.
Almost any of the Hyundais. If you're looking for used, that's probably a really good way to go. I will say the Chevy Bolts are a really good deal used, but stay away from a 2020 and a 2021.
Oh.
Chevy had a very bad problem with their batteries until 2021.
They didn't vaccinate their cars. So.
That's right. Their batteries were made by LG. They had a problem with a cathode separator folding, and they did have a few unfortunate fires. They fixed it. They got them all fixed. But through legalese, the 2020s and 2021s were left out of the recall.
Oh.
The new batteries had 10% more power, more capacity. They extended the warranty another 100,000 miles. So I have this huge warranty on my battery.
Yeah.
But if you're going to buy used, avoid a 2020, 2021 Chevy Bolt.
Okay.
But you can pick those up used, very reasonable.
That's great.
And those batteries go over 200,000 miles.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Anything else? I mean, last thoughts, I guess. I want to make sure that we have you here, and this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. I love this stuff. So anything else you want to make sure people know about EVs or ICE vehicles?
Don't be afraid of EVs.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the naysayers out there. A lot of them, they don't even have an axe to grind. They have an opinion, It's not based in fact.
Someone told them something that they've decided is true.
And they've decided it's true. I will tell you, they're not for everyone. If you live in a city, they're fantastic. If you don't have an ability to charge them at home, don't buy one.
If you're on the Renaissance Festival circuit, traveling from state, you know, state to state, maybe not a good fit.
Not a good fit.
I suppose it depends. Like I say, you know, it depends if you got the time, because
David
and Jane don't have a problem taking that extra time to stop and charge.
Do they have
hours.
A charge at home?
No, they actually just, because they've got the free membership for a year, they just go and charge near the home. They are eventually going to install
that. Is one thing I should say. They have it for free, and that's great.
Yeah.
I charged once away from home because I just wanted to do it.
Right.
Yeah. My 3 cents a mile was no longer 3 cents a mile.
Right. Yeah.
It was almost becoming as expensive as filling up at the station.
Okay.
Yeah, they plan on installing a home charger. They just haven't felt the rush to get that installed.
Well, and they're in California, where there's more chargers per capita, I would imagine, than there are in somewhere like rural Illinois Arkansas.
This particular charging collective, Walmarts all have these chargers in them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can find a Walmart, which you can, within 20 miles of where you are, you're in pretty good shape.
So you want to be able to charge at home. You probably want to live in a city as opposed to living rurally.
Correct.
And anything, is there any other?
No road trips so much.
You're not so much a road trip. You're not so much a road trip person.
Conditional road trips.
And maybe do you need to be a car guy? Like, do you need to care about... Like, I am not a car guy. I know that I need to take my car to Jiffy Lube every 5,000 miles and get my full, you know, my full
Neither
service.
Of us are car guys.
I know. And so, but, do you need to know more about cars to have any?
That's the great thing about them. You don't have to know anything. I stress, my first scheduled maintenance is at 150,000 miles. And you know what it is? I have to change my cabin air filter.
That's insane.
Oh, my God.
I mean, genuinely
insane.
That's how they get you. Like, that is the first, other than an oil change, your first scheduled maintenance in an ICE vehicle is like 15,000 miles, 20,000 miles, something like that. And it's usually belts. And are there things like fan belts and such in an EV? Like, do you have nothing like that? All the things that have ever broken on a car for me.
My drivetrain. My drivetrain has 3 moving parts.
Oh, wow.
And the fewer moving parts, the less there is to break.
It's solid-state hard drive in that car, baby.
That's why printers are the worst consumer goods, is because they're all moving parts. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons.
That's
so
fantastic.
When I think about consumable goods in my car, you know, obviously, like, both cars are going to have wiper blades, right? But then...
Blinkers.
Bulbs and blinkers, right, whatever. But e-vehicles are probably going to be almost all LED, or more likely to find LED, which are going to replace less frequently. Then you're looking at, you know, like air filters, oil filters, brake pads, the actual oil itself is consumable.
The air filter for the engine as opposed to the
cabin.
And then
belts wear down.
Brake pads, the shoes is another part of the brakes that can break, by the way.
And in most electric vehicles, you've eliminated at least half of those parts.
You've eliminated a huge amount of parts.
Yeah, they still have wipers, got you there.
So even if the initial investment is a little higher, the maintenance investment is probably going to be lower, so much lower over the life of the car that you're going to more than pay for that. And of course, there's also the fact that it's much cheaper to, especially if you're charging at home, to be able to charge your car than it is to put gas in it.
That does mean... I'm going to be such a downer here. That does mean that because an upfront investment that costs you less over time that's a typical advantage that people like with more economic privilege can do, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if you can't afford really good shoes that are going to last forever, you're going to spend even more money replacing your cheap shoes every year or whatever.
True.
So it's like the people that would maybe need that economic benefit more are going to be in a less advantageous position to get an electric car.
True.
And, you know, used is a good option and other things like that. But, like, you know, I'm longing for the day when it's like my shitty broke down electric car that I got from my uncle is like a thing that everyone has.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sin, well, we're on the way.
Thank you so much. This was just an incredibly enlightening conversation.
Yeah, fascinating.
Absolutely wonderful to have you. We are lucky to know you and to be able to have you on the show. If you have experiences, you're listening to this, you want to tell us about your EV, please do evangelize to us, as it were. We'd love to, unless you like your Tesla. If you like your Tesla, stop listening to our show.
We don't
need you.
You don't need to be an evangelist. You can just keep it to yourself. If you're stuck in a car, that can happen.
You're not a bad person necessarily. You bought a Tesla. You had never heard of Twitter before. You don't have to defend it to anyone. I'm just saying, if you like your non-Tesla EV and you want to tell us why you like your particular brand, please let us know. We'd love to hear it in the comments. You can always find us on Facebook and on Blue Sky when I remember to post. And as always, we will be here every other Tuesday.
Every other Tuesday.
We will see you every other Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
This space intentionally left blank.